Thank you, Greg, for reading from Paul's letter this morning to the Corinthians. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners, cynicism, or conceit is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down to the spirit meets the bone. But ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Who knew that these two very different people living in two very different parts of the country would have so much in common? One I encountered at Six Flags in rural Missouri, peak season, people packed like sardines to ride the rides. Temperatures were somewhere in the mid to upper 90s. Can we imagine what that feels like after this week? The other was in a crowded McDonald's. An African-American grandmother with her grandson waiting for a table to finally open so they could eat their lunch. Some friends and I were walking around Six Flags when we came to one of those railroad crossings that theme parks and zoos seem to have. The lights flashed, the bells were dinging, there was this collective groan in the crowd since it was hot and we were all starting to bunch up together. And a man worked his way through the crowd, excused himself past me, and came to this small patch of grass. And there was litter all over this patch of grass. There was those spoons that just find their way, straws. You've all seen those patches, some cigarettes there. But that did not deter him from what he did next. He took off the mat that he was wearing on his back, and he put it down with great intention. And then he knelt down, and he faced west, and he prayed. I heard the mutterings from some in the crowd. And I wish I could say that these were nice mutterings from those waiting for the train to pass. And I'd like to say that they kept down their voices so that the man would not hear them, that he could not overhear them. But the man continued despite the voices. Just like the litter, was undeterred from getting down and praying. It was the time of Salat, the Zuhr or noon prayer, five times a day when many Muslims stop everything they do and face Mecca and pray. The believer lives in the joyful presence of God, which leads them to a higher realization of the blessings of God. Five times a day, meaning the rhythm of their day, is prayer. As I waited for my food, I watched her and her grandson scour the restaurant for an open table. It was clear that they were in a hurry. Not sure where, but you can just sense when people are trying to get someplace. And a gentleman there picked up on this urgency, and he scarfed down the remaining French fries he had, and he offered them a place to sit. With gratitude, the two sat down. The grandson couldn't wait any longer. He went straight for his happy meal, pulled out the toy, and he started to get his food ready to eat, when the grandmother said, "Hold on now, we have to pray first." And her grandson sat back, "So yeah, we do." They folded their hands and bowed their heads, and they prayed this prayer. She said, "God, thank you for this meal that you have provided us. Thank you for your kindness of neighbors who give us a place to sit. Thank you for this day and this time with my grandson that we have to share together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen." Both the man facing Mecca and the woman praying to Jesus paused in the crowdedness of daily living to pause and stop and receive this gift which opened them to something vast and infinite. They received a gift, a portal of God's goodwill and loving kindness for them and for others around them. They may have been in a hurry. They may have heard some of those ignorant voices muttering about their faith, and yet, they opened the gift. And instantly, God surrounded them, reorienting them to God's abundance. In the crowdedness of daily living, the jam-packed schedule of things to do and people to meet, there is a gift waiting for each of us. Some of you know that I enjoy the show Ted Lasso. And for those that have never seen that, the premise is Ted Lasso is an American football coach who gets a job as a soccer coach in England. And Rebecca, the person who hired him and who is the owner of the soccer club, secretly wants Ted to lose as many games as possible so the team that she just acquired from a divorce settlement will go in flames, and thus revenge on her ex-husband. However, Ted is kind-hearted, truly and deeply cares about everyone around him. He even begins this thing he calls biscuits with the boss. Every day he brings Rebecca delicious, fresh biscuits. And at first she refuses to accept them. A little bit of pride there. She refuses. And she begrudgingly puts it on her desk and will not give Ted the satisfaction of eating them in front of him. And then she tries one. And it's the most delicious biscuit she has ever eaten. And as she continues secretly to get Ted to fail, as she copes with this public fallout of her divorce, Ted's biscuits are the highlight of her day. The biscuits remind her of her childhood, perhaps a time when she felt safe and she felt at peace. Although before too long, she begins to expect Ted to have them every day. She scarfs them down without truly tasting them and appreciating them. And then the truth comes out about her scheme, trying to get the team to lose. And that truth rips many of her closest relationships apart. And then she realizes it. It means no more biscuits. Then it's not so much about the biscuits, but who gave her the biscuits? Ted, who was the only person that showed her endless compassion and kindness as she endured and navigated a horrible and public divorce, a time, a challenge in her life. And the gift reminded her who she was, and Ted kept her steady. It wasn't until she pushed away that gift and she pushed Ted away that she realized what she had done. And she took his gift and his friendship for granted. This morning we hear a plea from Paul to the Corinth church, a plea for us worshiping this morning. Do not take God's gift for granted. Do not accept the grace of God in vain. You see, this verse is aimed at the church in Corinth. And the church is getting crowded for some of them. Paul is doing his best to offer spiritual guidance through the letters. And in his first letter, Paul urges them to respect one another's spiritual gifts, not placing one gift as superior to another. Paul takes a large chunk of that letter defining love, since so many have forgot about what God's love is. And in this second letter, in which we read from this morning, he is forced to address forgiveness and to be a people of God and not an island looking out for oneself. So reconciliation is Paul's mission. Restoring people with God is Paul's purpose. He reminds them that God has freely given them the gift of grace, goodwill, loving kindness. Because they have taken God's gift for granted, they aren't truly connected to the one called love. Because if they are connected, if they did receive this gift, they would be treating one another much better. They have lost their faith. They have forgotten God. They have taken grace in vain. for granted. So as life in the church becomes crowded and tension rises, people are not acting as God would have them act. As they are speaking, they're not speaking as God desires them to speak. And they have forgotten to receive this gift. There are moments when we lose our faith too. Our words, our actions, our judgments do not illumine God's steadfast love. And sometimes that's love for others around us, even for those who are muttering under their breaths words that are meant to hurt us. Sometimes that's love for ourselves. When our mind is crowded with anxiety and worry and fear, we get so wrapped up in it all that we forget this beautiful gift that is offered to each of us in every moment of life. And it's not bad that we forget. It's human. Paul uses himself as an example here as he lives out his faith in the good, bad, and ugly. He says, God reaches out in times of affliction, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labor, sleepless nights, hunger, as well as in times of patience, kindness, knowledge, genuine love. God offers something to people of faith. And Paul says, we were treated as imposters. And yet, we were treated as imposters, and yet, because of God, we know we are true. He goes on, we were treated as unknown or unimportant, someone people could look past, and yet, because of God, we are fully known. He continues, even though we have much to be sorrowful for, even though we are poor, even though we have nothing, and yet, because of God, we are always able to rejoice. Because of God, we are rich. Because of God, we possess everything. The man bent down to pray, listening to people's unexamined biases. And yet God greeted him with peace and love. The grandmother was running late with her grandson to the next task on the list. And yet she saw the gift of a stranger, the blessing of sharing a meal, and the life and relationship with her grandson. In a moment, we can forget our faith. In the rush and the worry, we can forget. We can also remember. We can take that moment and open the gift freely given to each of us, to each person God created. We can make the crowds, the pressure pushing in on us dissipate and experience a peace that can take any moment of our life and insert, and yet God. And yet because of God. So listen to Paul here. Do not accept the grace of God in vain. No matter where you are in life or what you're going through, there is a gift just for you, only for you. Be open. Widen your hearts. Cast a wide net, experience blessings found in every inhale and exhale. In each moment, in this life, as in the life beyond this earthly life, is the presence and the blessings of the one we call love and grace.